I'll explain the title. Now, in faith, dear Lord, we call. Anybody reminded of that? It's actually from an old hymn, the middle of the chorus of an old hymn, one of my favourite hymns. It starts up, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, okay? Don't worry. I saw a few of you sort of slink down in your seats there. It starts off, they were gathered in the upper chamber. Anybody remember that? And the chorus starts, let your fire fall. Okay, let your fire fall. And it's the middle line, and it goes, now in faith, dear Lord, we call. I've got a few really favourite films. This is a film, hymns, this is one of them. Another favourite hymn of mine is Burn Fire of God. Who knows that? Beautiful hymn. Beautiful hymn. We had some fire there, I think, didn't we? Yeah, okay, beautiful hymn. Recurring theme there, I know, but that's where it comes from. And I'll be talking today about the fire of God. You know, in this place, we need, as we look out to these people that we need to draw into this place, draw to the Lord, we need to be that beacon on the hill, amen? We need to be, see the fire of God in here for them to be attracted to come to want something that they haven't got, amen? And we're going to be hearing about faith and the faith. Now, I'll say categorically, this is for me as well. I am not saying I've apprehended it, but faith is such a great subject, and we all need to grow in it, so including myself first of all. Let's read scripture, and then I'm going to pray for us all very briefly. We're at Ephesians chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 14. I'm reading from New King James Version. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you will seal it to our hearts today. I pray with your servant Paul that my fellow believers might know the strength of Holy Spirit reinforcement today in the inner person. Lord, we pray that enter through the open door of faith today as we look to your word. Have your way with us so it bears fruit that lasts. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So that's the promised face. There's no more of an urgency today than ever that we need to draw nigh in faith thy power to know. So when we look at faith, and when we every time we revisit faith, for instance, if you went to the Bible and look up everywhere that faith was mentioned, you'd find that it was fascinating faith. So we first look at faith is a fascinating subject. It's fascinating faith. And when we look in our Bibles, it's full of powerful truths and will tell us that no matter how impossible the situation, no matter how even dead the situation looks, with believing faith, we can gain the victory. Amen. We can gain the victory. Go with me in your Bibles very quickly to Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to look at the calling of the disciples here just for a moment. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, I'll just read verse 1. And when he called, that's Jesus, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. with me at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, and he commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Praise God. Now, when a believer, as we all are disciples, walk in believing faith, he or she operates with unlimited power. Amen. Let's understand that straight away. We know that. Unlimited power. Believing faith will always gain us the victory. And when we understand the real truths of this, and we go deeper into this, it will create a revolution in our lives. Who wants a revolution? Amen? Jesus here in Matthew chapter 10, our Matthew chapter 10, what he's doing, as we see, he's instructing his disciples on the scope of their mission. And that 12, the 12's mission, foreshadowed our ongoing mission today in the church. Of course, our ongoing mission goes beyond Israel, including but beyond Israel, to include a global scope. Just look with me at verse 5 again. These 12 Jesus sent out, and he commanded them, saying, you see there, that's not a request. Jesus commanded them, okay? He commanded them. When we look at this again, we see another few things. We see Jesus give instructions, and it's strange to when we go there the first time, because he actually tells them what not to take rather than taking something. He also says, of course, that reminding them that we're sheep going out amongst wolves, which is obviously true. But what we don't see in there also is we don't see a list of qualifications for this mission. Now, I know you're thinking now, and quite rightly, in elsewhere in the Bible, 2 Timothy, Romans, and James, it says that we have to be approved. Okay, that's a different context of those who are called to minister the word. But as a disciple, as a calling, he didn't give them a list of, in the instructions, there's no qualifications. He didn't, for instance, say, after all this, by the way, this Saturday, be at the synagogue, we're going to study all day, we're going to do a few things, and then there's going to be an exam at the end of it. He didn't do that. So our qualification is to be a disciple, okay? Jesus says, go and do by faith. That's what he said. And we have that mission today. And as a disciple, when we look at faith in the deeper level, we understand the need to make a distinction between faith and believing. Because many people think they're in faith, but really it's just believing. I'm going to explain this. The New Testament tells us that faith is a product of the recreated human spirit. When a person accepts Jesus Christ, that's what happens. That is the miracle of salvation. Amen? That's the miracle that happens. Being born again, that's what it means. Being born again means having a recreated spirit. We are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. We're recreated spirit. I want to just share with you one little verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul here is closing in prayer in what we call 1 Thessalonians. He's closing in prayer at the moment because he didn't know there was going to be a 2 Thessalonians. But we do. So he closed in prayer here. And what happened with Thessalonians? We're at AD 50. They're under persecution 50 years after our Lord has resurrected. The Christians are under persecution. He's encouraging them, saying the return of the Lord is soon, and he's teaching them on that. He goes away, and in the same year, he comes back to write 2 Thessalonians because problems had come in because they'd come under persecution and a few wanted to upgrade his teaching. So that's what he wrote, 2 Thessalonians. His prayer here says, it's a very simple one, it's become the definitive one on how we're made up. And he says in his prayer, "Now may the God of grace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there we have our makeup as we are created. Okay, we are spirit, soul, and body. Now, just to explain how this is made up, obviously you know this, but some may not. When sin came into our human situation in the Garden of Eden through Adam, before that, God created us as a spiritual communicator with him, our spirit, right? But when sin came in, what happened? That disobedience made a swap, if you like, a turnaround, and the spirit side of us started to diminish, and the soul started to come in the ascendancy. Now, the soul, of course, is our mind, will, and emotions. So that's what sin did. So the spirit is now in the descendancy. Okay, and from that moment in time, Adam lost the capacity to be a spiritual person as we know it today. Right. So the miracle of being born again, what happens is, the greatest miracle is when someone accepts Jesus into their life, because the miracle of regeneration happens, and what happens is the correct order goes back, in that the spirit, it gets recreated and becomes in the ascendancy, and the soul is put back in its place. And Paul speaks of us, he wants to sanctify. Now, the other side of sanctification is our progressive sanctification, where we are being made more Christ-like. So our spirit remains in the ascendancy, and our soul stays there, you see. Our soulish side is reduced. We become more Christ-like, our spirit grows, and our soul diminishes. That's why John could say in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 30, "He must increase while I must decrease," of course. So why is this important to knowing about the difference between faith and believing? Well, faith is a spiritual force of the recreated human spirit, and believing is the permission, the mental assent, the choice that we make that releases the power of faith into our lives. Amen. Let me explain that by a quick illustration. Octavia, granted that where we live, we've all connected up with electricity. Okay? All right? Not the neighbor's electricity, our own. Or the lamp outside. Okay, so now, that electricity in your house or in your apartment or anything is a constant force staying within, remaining in that wiring. It's a constant force there. But we also, in our houses, in our apartments or wherever, we have a switch. Okay, and the switch, when we press that switch or lever or whatever it is, we put a demand on that power, and it flows. Now, the faith can be likened to the electricity, the power in there, remaining in there, and belief, our believing, is the switch that we put a demand on, okay, that flows. Now, the switch, that is believing, is a vital importance, but is not actually the source of power. The switch, or believing, controls the demand put upon the power. So our believing puts a demand on the faith, which is the power, which I read out, that Paul spoke about earlier on, which I'll return to. I want to read to you Hebrews 11:1, but what I'm going to do, I've already written this out, I want to read it from the Amplified Version, okay, because this is really, spells it out very, very clearly for us. Hebrews 11:1, we have just one verse in the New King James Version. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I want to share with you the Amplified Version of this. "Now faith is the assurance, or the confirmation, or the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Okay? That is what makes faith fascinating. Right? That's fascinating faith. Moving on to my next one. Faith is also a force. Faith is a force. Okay? Faith is a force that produces assurance. Blessed assurance, actually. It's another hymn. What I want to say here is that in the conversations I've had, and I'm sure you've had when witnessing, and I have some great conversations, faith is looked at by the non-believer or the seeker as some nebulous thing you can't get hold of. It's only when you're a certain spiritual person that you can get hold of it. That's not true at all. Jesus makes it very simple. It's very practical and relevant to our lives. It's not just something we have, but it's something we use, isn't it? It's for our protection. It's relevant for our daily lives. And it's really practical. Let me illustrate this quickly. We've got, we're now in a holiday. Kids, the children are off school, half term. Summer is around the corner, thank God. And there's going to be, you know, no matter what, where you are of being a parent, there's no way you can keep an eye on your children 24/7. Amen? Can anybody? You don't know. So when they're, or your loved ones, so when they're not around, you know, you're not comfortable with merely hoping that they're okay. You're not. Right? You're not hoping, you're not comfortable with just hoping that you're okay. See, you want the assurance. You want that confirmation. What you want in your hand is the title deeds that says, "I know they're okay." You see, this is the difference that comes with the recreated human spirit. I know they're okay, right? So how do you move from hoping to knowing? And as disciple, we apply this force simply by God's word. Faith is force. So we apply it by God's word. Let me go to Romans, book of Romans 10:17, and we apply it through this. You know, we love God's word in this church. That's why we use it. It's not me, it's the Lord through his word. Romans 10:17 says this. I'm sure we're familiar with this. Now, obviously, you in all these, you need to read the context to understand fully the thing, but I'm going to explain it with this, because we know a text without a context is a pretext. So, verse 17 says, "So then," which that typifies that there's something happened before we need to check out, "so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Right? Faith comes by hearing. Right. Did we notice there that faith does not come by having heard? And this is not just a scripture we attach for someone to come to salvation. It's a present continuous. Faith isn't by having heard, it's by hearing. Our spirit, to remain in the ascendancy, needs to be nourished. Amen? The same way our body needs regular food. We all agree with that, don't we? Which brings me on to my last point, moving quickly. We need to feed our faith. You know this, of course. And why do we feed our faith then in this? We've got to take hold of his promises. We've been, the service today has been leading up to this. We've heard great testimony of this. And we've already had words about this today. We've got to take hold of his promises that Jesus Christ tells us. Now, Jesus Christ tells us that we have the keys to the kingdom. Amen? The keys to the kingdom in Matthew 16 and 19, I won't go, you can go to it later. Matthew 16 and 19, Jesus says we've got the keys to the kingdom. Now, these keys in your hand unlock the promises of God. These are the keys. Okay. So, let's make this really relevant. These keys, when I go to God's word, unlock the protection for my children. So when a little girl gets ill and gets rushed into hospital, we know, because we know the promises of God's word, that we can say, as our brother said earlier, no weapon formed against us can prevail. Any tongue raised against us in judgment we now condemn. Why? Because this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Our righteousness is in him. We know the keys, you see. We know the keys. When something happens, our kids are not around us, and we're there, we can say, he commands his angels concerning us. He guards our ways. So much so that we don't even dash our foot on a stone. You see, that's one of the keys, and that's the faith that unlocks the power. And we go there. So we need to feed our spirit all the time with these. That's why we do it. You know this. John 1 and verse 1 says, God and his word are one. Amen? God and his word are one. So therefore, his words have life, has already been said today. God and his words have life. They're his means of revelation to us. He has chosen to reveal himself through his word. Amen? That's where we find him. But it's true, isn't it, that so many find it hard to open their Bibles. So many find it hard and find it tedious to get into God's word and wonder why there's no power in their lives. I didn't plan saying this, but it's just, Holy Spirit just laid on me. When I read that first scripture about the disciples calling, you know, the word there, disciple, is mathetes. Disciple, you know. And it's where we get the word maths from, mathematics. Mathetes comes from a verb that says, that means to learn in the present continuous tense, to always be learning. Disciple. Now, I'm no thing at maths, but that just tells us where we are, okay? We need to always be learning. So we need to have the faith to when we go to God's word that we're going to receive that power. So many find it hard, though, to go there. If that's you, then you are yet to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you find it hard in God's word, you are yet to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, no one has to convince me to eat my favorite food. Does anyone have to convince you to eat your favorite food? No. Why do you not need convincing to eat your favorite food? Well, because you've already eaten it and you know what it tastes like. Amen? Right. Coming to a conclusion. The wheels are down, we're coming in for a land. The scripture I began with, I just want to return to, is my key scripture. And I just want to concentrate just for a moment to leave us with a challenge. And this is for all of us. Verse 20. And verse 20 says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Your version may say imagine. Here it is. According to the power that works in us. So according to the power that we access, the believing faith that we access. You know, all that power, you may not have seen that scripture in that vein before, but it says, according to the power that works in us. That's not saying that there's a lack of power, is it? See, that power that we've been given through believing faith is unlimited. It's unlimited. Right? But why then, you know, and with the word, God is no respecter of persons, right? My feet are to the fire here as well. Okay? And it's what he's called us to in this place, because the people out there have got to see the fire in here. They've got to want something in here. And you know what? I'll just say this before I make my point. I didn't plan it, but I was so moved, as we all were, I know, on Monday when we had that lovely service here. And I was inspired when I looked around and I saw the church full. You know what? That's what God wants for us here. What a legacy, what a testimony to those brothers, those sisters who have gone before us, who are absent with the body but present with the Lord. What a great legacy to fill this house. The foundation that they've laid and been part of, and to see that here every Sunday. And actually have to go to another meeting to accommodate the people. You know, we need to look at some of the seats that are empty there, and we need to see people in there that we're praying for. You see, that's believing faith. That's not a fictitious thing. It's not something that is unavailable. It's relevant to our lives. It's a force. So it's not only fascinating, it's a force, but for it to be those things, we need to feed it. We need to feed it with God's word. So here we are with all this power. With all this power available to us. And we don't see anything different in our experience. Or we see very little. May I suggest a reason why? And how we need to move on. If it seems good to you, Pastor, I'm going to make this suggestion. Back to the illustration. I'm going to pray in a moment. Back to the illustration of the house with the electricity. Okay. In houses, and this is a good reason, because we don't want that kind of fire in a house. Okay. There's something that, if you get a power surge, there's something that stops the flow, isn't there? You can see where I'm going. We call it a fuse, simply. And when there's a power surge or something wrong, we need this, you know, we don't want that kind of fire in the sanctuary, do we? It stops the flow. Now, for any Americans listening, in America, they have a word for this that actually describes the function of it. They call it a breaker. Yeah, they call it a breaker. And what it does, a breaker literally breaks the flow of the power. You see? So, why don't we see this happening? God really spoke to me from my life. So I'm first in the queue here. Amen? I tell you, we've got to take the fuse out. Yeah. We've got to start taking the fuse out that prevents the flow. Because we have the choice, believing with our hand on the switch. Not only that, but we need to remove the fuse. We need to break the breaker. Amen? We need to take that out. If we want to see what we need to see in this place, and we need to come into the place of being his disciples in the fullness, with the full counsel of the Word of God, I believe that's what we need to do. Because people need to see the fire the right fire, not a physical fire. They need to see the fire of God in here. You know, I was reminded of a scripture. This is not planned to do, and I will pray in a moment. You know, the scripture that Pastor T once preached, and he was an old man when he preached, if you know Pastor T, as Trevor knows him and others. And this man used to preach when he's old, and he was like a young man when he preached. And I remember his last sermon I heard, and he said, "The zeal for this house has eaten me up." You know, and that's kind of how I feel. You know, and I'm sure we all feel that way, because we want people to have what we got. We don't want them just to go through life hoping that nothing practical in their lives, that hoping that their kids are all right, or their lives are all right, or that there's going to be enough money at the end of the month. We want to have them what we've got, the assurance. We want them to have the title deeds in their hand, as we have, of the assurance, because we know our Savior. We know that are born again into a wonderful life of having a recreated spirit as God intended in the first place. Amen. Okay. You've been very patient. I appreciate I've gone over time a little bit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you once more for the privilege of fellowshipping together and looking at your word. Lord, I pray for us all to meditate on this word and revisit the wonderful force, the fascination of your faith, the force of it, and the fact that we need to feed our faith also, Lord. And Lord, could it be that you bring us to a place, Lord, that we get silent with you and remove the fuse that's preventing the flow, so that your power flows through us and we see healings, we see all that is described in your desire for your disciples as you first sent them out all that time ago. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for one another. We thank you for the love in this place. And we just thank you for who you are. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.